Good day, everyone, and welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange Conference Call. Now for opening remarks and introductions, I would like to turn the conference over to Ms. Christy Snyder. Please go ahead, Christy.
Thank you, Erica, and welcome, everyone, to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is JSR 168 and portlet container issues in WebSphere Application Server version 6.1. At the end of today's session, the lines will open for a question and answer period. Today's presenter is Naveen Shetty. Naveen has worked in WebSphere support for the last 6 years. The first 3 years he worked in WebSphere Security Support Level 2, and the last 3 years in WebSphere Enhanced Support Team, supporting our OEM customers. In this capacity, his team is responsible for enabling our OEM customers to deliver their products on a WebSphere app server middleware. Multiple projects in Nokia and PeopleSoft Oracle are its primary accounts. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Naveen Shetty. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Christy. Today, we are going to discuss the JSR 168 and the JSR 168 compliant portlet container, which is introduced in WebSphere 6.1. Christy, if you can go to the agenda. This presentation is divided into three different sections. In the initial parts slides, we will discuss JSR specification itself and talk about the players who brought about the specification. We will also introduce WebSphere JSR 168 compliant portlet container. Then in the second section, I'll talk about the application server, which is introduced, the portlet container, which is introduced in WebSphere application server. I'll give a couple of slides describing the difference between the JSR 168 compliant portlet container and the WebSphere portal server. In the end, we'll have a section where we'll discuss some of the problems which we have encountered with the introduction of JSR 168 compliant portlet container. And of course, in the end, we have a few slides with URLs pointing to helpful resources on the topic. Christy, if you can go to page 3. The Java standardization request 168, we'll call it JSR 168 now. Defines the portlet specification, including a contract between the portlet container and the portlet. JSR 168 is defined by the Java community process. The JSR 168 was co-led by IBM and Sun and had a large expert group. The group included Apache, ARC Technologies, BEA, Boeing, Bolin, Citrix, to name a few. To find out more about the details about JSR 168, you can go to the jcp.org site and search for JSR 168. What was the need for this spec? With the emergence of an increasing number of enterprise portals, a variety of APIs for portal components, which are called portlets, has been created with different vendors. Having multiple incompatible interfaces creates problems for application providers, portal customers, and portal server vendors. The portlet specification, JSR 168, which is being defined by the Java community process, provides a standard for interoperability between portlets and portals. In time, it will help to overcome these problems. This specification establishes a standard API for creating portlets, thus avoiding locking in portlet developers in a specific implementation and allowing portlet developers to reach a wider audience while reducing their development efforts. The portlet specification is required to achieve interoperability between portlets and Java-based portal servers or other web applications that implement the specification. The goal is to allow portlets to be packaged into WAR files and deployed in a standard way on any server that implements the specification. While the servlet JSC specifications define and include mechanisms for aggregating servlets and JSC, they do not define the desktop metaphor of where this aggregation happens. Neither does the server JSC specification define the possible states and transitions of the include servlets or JSPs, or how the state of the servlet or JSP affects the display of other included servlets or JSP. In addition, the servlet JSP specification do not define a personalization interface or the idea of persistence or personalizing the information. Furthermore, the servlet specification does not define URL rewriting functions to allow the creation of links and actions targeted to a specific form within the fragment of a page. It's more known as a portlet markup fragment. The JSF, which is JSR 127, aims to define standard MVC-based web GUI framework focusing on the UI components and their event models. However, it does not address aggregation, security, and personalization. What are the advantages of JSR 168 compliance? The JSR 168 compliance establishes a standard for API for creating portlets, the integration component between applications and portlets that enables delivery of an application through portlet. Before, without this standard, each version of an application had needed its own portlet API, and each of the various portals required that these portlets be specifically tailored for implementation through that portal. This has raised portlet developer time, effort, and cost with the net effect that fewer applications have been made available through fewer portals to the detriment of end users, ISVs, and developers. Now, when the portal developers and portal vendors adhere to this standard, application can be delivered through any portal almost immediately. A win-win situation is created where everyone truly gets more for less. Christy, if you can go to page 4. So, why couldn't we do, we had the servlet specifications, why wasn't that enough? Why the introduction of portlets? The servlet architecture does not define the desktop metaphor where markup aggregation can occur. It does not define the possible states and transitions of an included servlet or JSP. It also does not define how the state of one servlet or JSP affects the display of the other included servlets or JSPs. It does not address the need for personalization interfaces, nor the idea of persisting the personalization information. The servlet architecture does not define URL rewriting functions to allow creation of links and actions targeted to a specific form within the fragment of a page. It does not support caching schemes of fragments as an HTML page is rendered as a whole and not as a sum of fragments. We can move to page 5. What does the JSR 168 specification address? JSR 168 is a portlet specification which addresses the following topics. It is a contract between the portlet container and the portlet. It talks about or it addresses concerns about portlet lifecycle management. It defines the window states and the portlet modes. Also defines the portlet reference management, and it addresses user information, packaging and deployment, security, JSP tags to aid portlet development. Following few slides, we will talk what a portal, a portlet, and a portlet container is briefly. You can go to slide 6. What is a portal? Portal is a web-based application that commonly provides personalization, single sign-on, content aggregation from different sources, and hosts the presentation layer of the information system. Aggregation is the action of integrating content from different sources within a page. A portal may have sophisticated personalization features to provide customized content to users. Portal pages may have different set of portlets creating content for different users. But let this not be confusing. The portal page can be different for each user, but you cannot aggregate portlets into one portal page whereby one portlet is customized for a person A and the next for a person B. One portal page has set of portlets showing customized content for only one user. Christy, if we can go to page 7. What is a portlet? A portlet is a Java technology-based component managed by a portlet container that processes requests and generates dynamic content. Portlets are used by portals as pluggable user interface and interface components that provide a presentation layer to information systems. Portlets are designed to run in the context of a portal. They are written to the Portlet API, which are similar to the Servlet API. Christy, slide 8, please. What is a portlet container? A portlet container runs portlets and provides them with the required runtime environment. The portlet container contains portlets and manages their lifecycle too. It also provides persistent storage for portlet preferences. A portlet container receives the requests from a portal to execute requests on the portlets hosted by it. The portlet container relies on the J2EE architecture implemented by WebSphere application server. As a result, portlets are packaged similar to the J2EE web applications and are deployed like servlets. Christy, if you can go to page 9. The following pictorial shows the elements of a simple portlet page. The portlet generates markup fragments, as shown. A portlet portal normally adds the title, control buttons, and other decorations to markup fragment generated by the portlet. This new fragment is called a portlet window. Then the portal aggregates the portlet windows into a complete document that is called the portal page. Christy, can we move to slide 10, please? This is a typical portlet request handling. Once a portlet object is properly initialized, the portlet container may invoke the portlet to handle client requests. The portlet interface defines two methods for handling portlet requests, a process action method and a render method. When the portlet container invokes the process action method of a portlet, the request is referred to as an action request. Similarly, the invocation of render method triggers the render request. If you look at the figure, request to portlet B sends an action, process action request on B. And if you notice, the process action needs to finish before the render action starts. The render actions can be started in parallel. And if you look at the on the left side, a process action invoked on portlet B causes the states of portlets A and B to be changed by the render action, and hence the need for rendering all the portlets on the page every time there is a process action. You can go to page 11, Christy. The JSR 168 portlet compliant portlet support was introduced in WebSphere Application Server v6.1. It provides runtime environment and lifecycle management of the portlet. The JSR 168 compliant portlet container in WebSphere 6.1, from now on, for the ease of it, I'm just going to say the WebSphere portlet container. It does not include advanced capabilities of the WebSphere portal server, such as portlet aggregation and personalization and collaboration. It supports calling portlets directly from a browser and from servlets or JSP code. The portlet container relies on the J2E architecture implemented by WebSphere application server. As a result, portlets are packaged similar to J2E web applications and deployed like servlets. If you can go to page 12, Christy. The next 10 or so slides will discuss the various components and features of JSR 168 compliant portlet container supported in WebSphere 6.1. The usage scenario includes install and manage of the portlet application, access to portlet information via NBean API, access portlets, address portlets directly via portlet URL, include portlets as fragments by any servlet via a request dispatcher, aggregate multiple portlets on a page via aggregation tag libraries, access remote portlets via remote request dispatcher. We will not go into this because this part is not exposed to the customer yet, and I'd rather not go into it. It also address configuring portlet container to enable caching, and there is a couple of slides which talks about how you go about enabling PMI and request metrics on the portlet application. Christy, can we move to slide 13, please? Installing portlet applications, as I mentioned earlier in the earlier slide, is similar to any web application. The WAR module with portlets are packaged as an application here and then deployed as one would any other application. As far as managing the portlet application goes, once installed, they can be viewed via the admin console. Programmatically, the information data provided by the portlet.xml is accessible via public mbeans. See mbean API documentation for the following mbeans, that is the portlet and portlet applications. These are the mbeans which are related to portlets. If you can move to slide 14, please. There's something called the Portlet Uniform Resource Locator, and you can request a portlet directly through a Uniform Resource Locator to display its content via without portlet aggregation. The Portlet Serving Servlet registers each web application that contains portlets. It is served similar to the file serving servlet of the web container that serves the servlet resources. The Portlet Serving Servlet allows you to directly render a portlet into a full browser page by just a URL request, as in a case of a servlet request. You can invoke each portlet by its context root and the name with the URL mapping that is created for each portlet. This page gives you an example as to how to access a sample portlet. The context root identifies the web archive file that contains the portlet. The portlet name uniquely identifies the portlet with a portlet application of the WAR file. Just see if can be moved to page 15, please. A simple portal framework is provided for portlets to be directly addressable via a portlet URL. This portal framework is the portlet serving servlet that gets registered for every portlet by context root and the portlet name. The few bullets below tells us how the document conversion is done in a portlet container. The portlet container only returns portlet fragments and not a valid document. The portlet serving servlet does not convert the fragments. It is handled by the portlet document filters. Servlets, including portlets, retrieve portlet fragments via request dispatcher, and node portlet document filters are called. Christy, can we move to page 16, please? This slide talks about the portlet document filters again. In the interest of time, I will just skip this slide as portlet programmers can find more programming guides on the portlet document filters. This slide talks about aggregating multiple portlets. The reason I'm skimming through all these is this information is there in the information center. I just wanted people who are not aware of this topic to get a background on what we're going to talk in slides past 22. The aggregation of multiple portlets. Aggregation tab library generates a portlet aggregation framework to address one or more portlets on one page. If you write Java server pages, you can aggregate multiple portlets on one page using aggregation tag libraries. This tag library does not provide full-featured portal aggregation implementation, but provides a good migration scenario if you already have aggregating servlets and Java server pages and want to switch to portlets. The URL will give you more information on it. Can we move to slide 18, please? There might be some situations where you want to disable the URL addressability. You might not want some of your portlets to be directly accessible via a browser. You can disable the URL addressability of the portlet serving servlets. At this point, the servlet cannot include portlets anymore. The portlets cannot be directly rendered into a browser window, and portlets cannot be aggregated via aggregation tag library. See the URL for more information on it. Can we move to slide 19, please? Like I've mentioned earlier, the portlet container always requires to be called by a portal framework. The portlet serving servlet is called to enable URL addressability such a portal framework. The portlet container relies on J2E architecture implemented to a web application server, and as a result, portlets are packaged similar to J2E web applications and are deployed like servlets. I guess I've repeated this one too many times. Sorry about that. Can we move to page 20, Christy? A request dispatcher.include method is used to remotely access portlets from a servlet. That is, portlets are invoked by URL addressability and can be accessed remotely based on the servlet RRD. RRD is the remote request dispatcher. RRD uses the same URL format as used to call a portlet from a browser, enables calling portlets in another JVM in an ND environment. To correctly call the action method of a portlet, your servlet or JSP must call the portlet before any other output is written to the output stream. There is also the portlet RRD, which I said that we will not go into because it is not exposed to the general customer yet, consumption yet. Christy, can we move to page 21, please? Portlet fragment caching can be enabled via admin console or through WS admin scripts. To enable portlet fragment caching via admin console, WS admin, an admin config task on the portlet container, MB, needs to be performed. Note, portlet fragment caching requires that the servlet caching has to be enabled beforehand. Enabling portlet fragment caching will automatically enable servlet caching, and disabling the servlet caching will automatically disable the portlet fragment caching. Also, enabling and disabling caching requires the server restart. Christy, can we move to page 22, please? This slide talks about the PMI, performance monitoring infrastructure, available for portlet measurements. Also talks about the request metrics facility which is provided. You can configure it via the admin console. The slide shows navigation using admin console to enable them. Christy, can we move to page slide 23, please? So now that I've talked to you about some of the features in the WebSphere 6.1 portlet container, let me give you a brief comparison between the portlet container embedded in WebSphere 6.1 and the WebSphere portal server itself. The WebSphere application server 6.1 provides the capability to run the GSR 168 compliant portlets, and the aggregation capability is available by writing custom servlets and JSPs, whereas in a WebSphere portal provides a complete and robust portal environment. Visual tools are provided for aggregating portlets and arranging pages. User customizable pages and personalization services are available. You can run portlets written in JSR 168 or IBM Portlet API on the WebSphere portal server. Whereas in a WebSphere 6.1 portlet container, you can run just the JSR 168 compliant portlets. Portlet API extensions such as Property Broker or Content Access Services are available for customers to use. IBM Workplace Content Management and Collaboration Tools are provided in the WebSphere portal server. Christy, can we move to the next slide, please? In this section, we will talk about what we are gathered here to talk, and I hope to spend a little bit more time out here. Christy, can we move to the next slide, please? The introduction of JSR 168 container does not add any more OS dependencies, any more than what the WebSphere application server already needs. The portlet container is a layer on top of the web container, and the portlet applications are handled as web applications. Portlet serving servlet is a servlet running on the web container, and it forms the framework for the portlet. The portlet documentation filters are registered by the servlet filter. There are some component plugins, which is the caching based on the Dynacache, which is the web container-based Dynacache. It's an improvement of the Servlet web container Dynacache. Portlet MBeans are based on the MBean framework. Portlet measurement support is plugged into PMI and request metrics. And Portlet RRD is based on the Servlet RRD architecture. Christy, can we move to the next slide, please? The following slides, we will talk about troubleshooting and their dependencies. If a portlet scenarios can be reproduced by servlets and reproduce accordingly to find out whether it's a portlet container environment issue or it has to do with the servlet side of it. So basically, you want to isolate the problem to either the web container or the portlet container. As I said, the portlet container is based on several components. Ensure these components are working properly. Web container required by portlet container and the portlet applications. The Dynacache required by the portlet caching. General MBean handling required by portlet MBean. PMI request metrics required by portlet metrics. And the servlet RRD required by the portlet RRD. Christy, can we move to slide 27, please? While troubleshooting failures are just generally listed a logic flow of how to go about troubleshooting individual problems, say if a portlet container does not start, the result is that the portlet application can neither be accessed or used. Make sure that the plugin com.ibm.ws portlet container jar file is available. Check that the portlet container is correctly registered in the server.xml and make sure that the web container can be started. If a portlet application cannot be installed at all, make sure that the application is a valid web application. With the portlet container, all the exceptions and errors are thrown while you are installing the application. So that's one good advantage of the portlet application in Industry 6.1. So make sure that the portlet application and its portlet.xml are valid, and make sure all the application dependencies are supported by WASP. If the portlet MBeans are not available, then it's usually an MBean issue, and you will have to deal on that basis. It's usually not a portlet container issue. If a portlet is not accessible by a URL, make sure that the URL is correct. Make sure that the portlet application is successfully installed and started. Make sure that the portlet serving servlet is not disabled. Make sure that the registered portlet document filters are correct. Christy, can we go to slide 28, please? So continuing on the failure modes and the corresponding checks we can do. If a portlet URL request returns an invalid document, make sure that the portlet document filters are correct. If a custom portal cannot find the aggregation tag library, make sure that the tag library has been correctly defined in the JSP headers. WASP 6.1.0.only, make sure that the application contains the portlet.xml. No portlet.xml required for WASP 6.0.1 and higher. That has been rendered useless. If portlets do not work as expected, ensure portlet application is not interfering against limitations. That is, you're not using the enhanced WebSphere portal-specific extensions, which are not available in GSR 168. Analyze the portlet application if this is a portlet application issue. If portlet API does not function as expected, identify the portlet framework that it is used in. If a portlet framework is used other than the URL addressability, ensure that this is not a portlet framework issue. Verify that Portlet API works using URL addressability. That means you can render individual portlet in the browser itself. If we can move to slide 29, please, Christy. The next couple of slides, I'm listing the important packages within WebSphere 6.1, which are of concern and interest out here. The portlet container, the component is com.ibm.ws.portlet container. the reason I was avoiding talking about portlet RRD earlier than this, before this, was because A, it is not exposed to customers, and B, usage of this is under special DOU agreement only. So to trace a portlet container, you have com.ibm.ws.portlet container trace strings, and to trace the portlet RRD, if you ever need to, there's the portlet specification strings which you need to enable for tracing. Slide 30, please. Again, these are extensions of the components which you can get indented traces for a deeper level of tracing if you go fast com.ibm.ws.portlet container. And the bottom part of it talks about tracing the API SPI packages which are not exposed. I pasted this from information somewhere else, and I shouldn't have done that because it's not available to general customers yet. Slide 31, please. The common problems or pitfalls I've come across handling WebSphere 6.1 based portlet container. Customers tend to use the enhanced, since they're used to using WebSphere Portal in WebSphere 5 and 5.1, they make the mistake of using the enhanced features which are provided in WebSphere Portal. WebSphere 6.1, JSR 168, 168 compliant portlet container is limited in that respect. Pitfalls. Portlets on a portlet aggregation must take care about namespacing consideration themselves. Portlet RRD is not involved when accessing portlets via addressability. It's only the servlet RRD which is involved when accessing portlets via URL addressability. Slide 32, please. 15. This slide, I've tried to mention a few PMRs out there which customers have reported and some of the APARs which we have created because of those problems notice. In 6101, we have APAR PK302-59, which addresses the portlet preferences. There were some issues about storing the URL addressability with portlet preferences. And there are some aggregation, you know, tab library minor fixes included in 6101 and 6102. They have been fixed in 6103. And there are some minor fixes in portlet caching issues. There are some important scenarios which we have come across with our customers, one of them being when you are deploying an application on a third-party portlet container, Pluto, for example. There are some clashes having both Pluto container and WebSphere portlet container, default portlet container enabled at the same time. We have fix 34915, which we have created to disable access. Mind you, it's not disabling the portlet container, but just disabling access from any web application. So you can disable deployment of your web application to the default container when you have a third party the portlet container on the same system. You can find out the history about, I'm not sure if customers can find out, read other people's PMRs, but the history of PK34915 can be found in those two PMRs. Now, there's PK314-67, which was brought about because of conflicts. Servlets and portlets cannot, in the same application here, cannot have the same name. And they cannot have the context root as /portlet because that is a reserved word used by the default container. for servlet mapping. There is a tech note which is created. The tech note number is 1248086. It talks about disabling access from any application, portlet application, to the default portlet container. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to tell you, Christy, we needed to move to slide 33. So slide 34 talks about help resources out there if you want to learn and understand more about Portlet and Portlet Container in WebSphere 6.1. There are some white papers out there written by experts on the Portlet Container. It talks about, the first couple of URLs is introduction to the Portlet specification, and then the third and fourth URL talks goes deeper and compares the JSR 168 Portlet specification with IBM Portlet API. And the last one talks about the exploiting the WebSphere Portlet container. In slide 35, I have listed more such links which might be helpful to customers out there. I've been asked to read this slide out here on slide 36, which is additional WebSphere product resources to keep abreast of the latest trends in WebSphere technology. The first URL talks about the latest trends in WebSphere technology and implementation, and second one talks about upcoming web conferences, webcasts and conferences. www.webshare.org is an invitation to join the Global WebShare User Community Group. You can access tutorials on www.ibm.com Software Info Education Assistance. And the next link talks about opening problem tickets using the new electronic service request tool. And if customers are interested in receiving weekly flashes from WebSphere organization, you can sign up for the weekly flashes. Lastly, before I open the floor for question and answers, I would like to thank Berg Eric, who's from the WebSphere Portlet development team, for all the assistance she has given me. With that, Christy, I would like to hand over the mic to you.
Thank you, Naveen. And at this point, Erica, we would like to open the lines for questions. I will now turn the call over to Naveen Shetty.
We have no questions at this time.
Thank you, Erica. And we will now conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation as well. We hope you will join us for future presentations. Thank you very much for joining us today, and thank you, Naveen, for presenting.
That does conclude today's conference. We thank you for your participation. Have a great day.